You and me on 93.
Look at you with the rhymes. I
I got
like
more.
it.
I got more though. That's not my special introduction.
Yep.
Oh, Grace, it is the 9th day of February. Is your Christmas shopping done?
I have a lot of it done. Yeah. I'm not completely done yet, but I'm no slacker.
Nice. I didn't really start yet, I don't think, but I don't know. Whatever, we'll get there.
Yeah, we will.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, you know?
Do you want to do a podcast show?
Yeah, let's do a podcast show. I think that'll be fun.
All right. You want to hear a funny joke before we do that podcast show?
Oh, do you promise that it's going to be both funny and a joke?
I
Both of
think I
those
can.
things.
I think I can check both those off. Yeah, it's a
Okay,
dad.
let's see.
It's like a dad joke. It's clean and everything tonight.
Okay.
What does a cow use to do math?
I don't know.
A calculator.
Oh, that's a good one. I like
Yeah,
it.
put that,
I
save
like
that.
it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right there.
We're keeping it friendly tonight. Nothing crazy.
Yeah, I
All
like
right,
it.
you ready to start the show now?
I'm ready to start the show.
All right, Grace, listen up. Oh, we've got Mr. Jim Blanford with us today. He has over 1 million feet of elevation gain. Let's talk about what's going through his brain as to why the heck he went on such a climbing spree on episode 93.
Nice.
I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
Oh, how are you, Grace?
I'm all right.
All right. Before we get started on the fun, I got some serious talk real quick.
Yeah.
We recently lost a member of the trail running community a few days ago, and due to an overdose. And I just want to tell everybody listening and everybody that might listen, and you will agree that if anybody ever has any problems or any issues or wants to talk, you and I are here for them.
Correct.
Okay,
Yes.
we're going to leave it at that and we're going to
Yeah.
move on and have some fun.
Okay. Grace, Yeah.
how was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. Laura and I had some fun on the Standing Stone Trail.
Yeah, you did. I like your pictures are really good. You're colerful. I noticed, I was like, whoa, that's a good, colerful, clear picture. Maybe
Yeah. We had
it's just smiles. I don't know.
enjoyed ourselves. It was conditions were a little we anticipated we might have some snow. It was a little more snow than we expected, so my ankles were like tired, not no injuries or anything like that. They were just tired by the end of it from slip sliding around, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah, so but it was a lot of fun because I was with Laura, so yeah.
Yeah, you two are a hoot. So I'm sure it was fun. Kind of wish I
We
was
are
there.
a hoot. Thank you.
You've been having all the fun with all the friends and stuff the past couple weekends.
Yeah, you should come down here and run with me.
Don't know. That's asking a lot.
Yeah.
Ask me about my weekend.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was okay. I hunted on Saturday, then went down to Roth Rock and played a little bit on Tussey Mountain Resort and the trails a little bit. It was a little icy down there in the trails, but it was fun to get on different stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, Becky went down and ran Big Woods 50K 20 miler option fat ass this on Sunday. If you
Yeah.
haven't done that, have you? You need to do that one.
I haven't, and it's been on my list for a long time now. Just like cool people put that race on for one,
All right.
and then I saw a photo with Rhoda, the Rhoda smoker, and Marisa and Becky, like in the same vicinity. And I don't even know if I can handle that much energy, that much awesomeness.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can handle that race.
I know. The threesome there was pretty spectacular. The picture was good, and Marisa had a cool write-up. Marisa managed to go swimming while she was there. That wasn't a planned swim, but she had a good dunk in the stream crossing. So if you haven't seen the video, you have to ask her to show it to you or look it up. It's quite entertaining.
Yeah, I will have to check that out.
I can't stop laughing just thinking about it, but that's Marisa for you. And the three of them ran together for the 50K, and it sounds like it was a blast.
Yeah.
This show, we have on a gentleman named Jim Blanford.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and bring his face on here. Jim Blanford has just recently passed the 1 million foot mark of elevation gain for the year for the second time you've done this, Jim?
Yes.
Yeah.
2020.
Okay. It was that long ago? I feel like it just happened. But yeah, it's the second time he's done that. If anybody doesn't realize how big of a mark that is, I think probably everybody listening realizes how much elevation that is. It's 189 miles if you go straight up in the air. So
yeah,
pretty far. In relation, Pennsylvania is 180 miles from north to south. So that's a long way up.
Yeah. And it's, I'm really excited to have you on the show, Jim. I can't tell you how many people have reached out to me and said, do you know Jim Blanford? And I'm like, yes, I know Jim, of course, because he's amazing. And you should have him on the show.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's taking this
long. About time, right?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if he'll be on the show. But I'm really glad that you said yes. Thank you. So we have so much to talk about. I just want to repeat this. 1 million feet of vertical gain so far this year. And that was in November, I think, when you posted for 1 million feet of vertical gain. Keeping in mind that the highest point in Pennsylvania, the biggest climb, is only like, what, 1,300 feet? It's not very high. We don't have big mountains around here. I know that you have a couple of big climbs around you.
But not that big. Yeah,
not that big. Your climbs are what, like 800-900 feet?
Yeah, 600-700 you can get, you know. Then you got to come back down. So, you know, you're going up and coming down. So you're really getting maybe 350, 360 a mile.
Yeah.
You can go to Port Clinton and do like Leg Destroyer and more bang for your buck. And then that is like maybe 700 feet a mile. It's a shorter repeat, but I wanted to stay kind of on my home hill for most of the summer. Mm-hmm. There's just more people there. Port Clinton is just, can get lonely. You don't see anybody for hours.
Yeah. And I remember when you did this back in 2020, there was this the East versus West challenge that happened in 2020? Do you remember that?
The elevation gain challenge?
Yeah, the elevation gain challenge.
The COVID thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, that was a week long elevation. Mm-hmm. If that's the one you're talking about, that was an Aravaipa event. I think they're having something right now with the vert mist. They have like 25 days of vert, but yeah, that was a, I don't remember the name of it, but it was a 7-day thing. And I just had off that week and it worked out perfect. And I hit 100,000 for that week. That was my biggest week ever.
That's insane. 100,000 feet of gain in 1 week.
Yep. And just went up and down, and it was, it just, I think back now, it's like that was crazy, but I didn't have the urge to go back and do 7 days again. That's
And we have the climbs in Pennsylvania are, you know, like I said, they're not super long. So we're only talking, 700 feet of gain in one shot, which means you have to come back down. And they're fairly steep in Pennsylvania compared to some other states. So these grades are pretty rough grades. So give us an example of how many feet within how many miles you might do in a regular
Hold on, real quick. Real quick before he does that, I just wanted to do the math just to give people more perspective. That's 19,230 feet a week that you have to stay on pace for, basically. Obviously, he probably had more or less here and there, but the average for the whole year to get a million feet of gain is 19,000 feet a week. Craziness. All right, I'm done.
Yeah, good. That now was a good one, Eric.
It does help that I live 2 miles away from a hill that I can start climbing. So that it's a big advantage when time saver, if you have to drive 40 minutes to get to a hill, you know, that's 80 minutes that I only, it takes me 3 minutes to get there. So that's a big help just to do doubles, you know, because this last, I don't know, 6-7 months, I've been doing doubles every day.
Wow.
Not really, so, doing the morning and the night.
What time you get out in the morning? Usually you're before daylight, aren't you?
Yeah, right now I'm getting up at 3:30 and I'm usually on the mountain by 3:45. But I'm coming up to 300 days that I started before 5 a.m. And that was, I mean, you take 300 times 800, that gives you an idea how much vert I just had in the morning. And that was really a big advantage too, just switching stuff around and being able to have the time to do the doubles, because to get that in one shot in the day, it's, you're just getting home really late, and it's easier to keep family stuff working better when you do it before everybody wakes up or before Karen wakes up.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, fitting in the time to do this, everybody knows the making stuff priority and fitting in the time.
Right.
Yeah, and Karen joins a good amount of the time, though. Like, she'll join sometimes for, looks like the first summit, see the sunrise, and then you kind of head out and do your climbing after that, right?
Yep. Usually on the weekend, she'll join. So, yeah, she's a big part of the meal planning for suppers through the week. And, you know, my meal planning now is done on a Sunday usually, and I'll meal prep for 4 or 5 days. So there's no thought of food in the morning. I just pick up and go to work. That's a huge time saver if you're trying to take advantage of every minute of, you know, what's available.
Yeah.
And it's worth pointing out too that Jim is huge in the running community. He puts on his Tuesday night hill repeats down there every Tuesday throughout the year. And these aren't little events, at least what I see, they're not little events. That's just you and some random other person that shows up. It's a big group that, you know, comes to this thing every Tuesday. So it's cool to see an event like that, not an event, but a gathering like that, that keeps so much steam throughout the year.
Yeah. That's a big help too, just having people around doing what you like to do. I mean, everybody does the trail running, but to get trail runners to come and do hills every week is a challenge too at one time. But now everybody just seems, they see the results at races, and it just makes them stronger.
Yeah.
For when that hill comes up.
Absolutely. It's a good crew too. I always want to come out, but it's like 2.5 hours for me around here. After work is hard.
Yeah, this is the 11th year, and it really took off in the last couple of years, because when I first started it, when the time would change, like now, we would stop it until March or April when it started back up. But it seems like a lot of the times over the winter, we get more people than in the summer sometimes. Mm-hmm. I just think people like running with other people in the dark. You know, it gets them out. Everybody's there. And
yeah, absolutely.
Great community. Now,
one thing I've noticed from you, and I've known who you are since I got into running roughly like 10 years ago. But correct me if I'm wrong, but you've kind of adjusted your training strategies as you've aged throughout the years. And by doing that, you've pretty much stayed, you've stayed on the same track as you were when you started. I mean, you're a sub 24-hour Eastern States finisher. if anybody looks at your ultra sign up, you have very impressive resume of races. But you've continued to stay strong and stay fast regardless of age while manipulating your training to allow you to keep staying healthy with the time you have and keep showing up and competing at a high level. If you can, I'd love to hear you talk about that a little bit, about, I guess, from where you started to where you are now and what you do differently and why.
And first, you got to admit how old you are too. But I will add to that you still win races at your age. So you got to share how old you are. You got to do
54.
It. 54. 54. Inspire people. Let's do it.
Right. Yeah. I think I'm a little smarter by maybe not doing as much. Well, fast is a broad term, but I don't always feel like I'm redlining all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, usually if I'm not feeling the best that day, I'm totally fine with just hiking 10 miles instead of trying to go and do that fast 7 mile maybe I had planned, you know. And I think that really helped. You know, I enjoy the hiking and the running, and I can't run all the time. I'll just, I guess, burn myself out or lose interest. And I guess I lose interest if I try to run fast too much.
Right.
So, and then if I get injured, then you'll see me posting a lot of hikes. You know, if I'm feeling something weird in a leg or something like that, I'll just go and hike, you know, and just keep moving, not stopping. I don't want to stop. And because I'm 54, I don't want to stop.
Yeah. I think that what you just said is a hard thing for a lot of us runners to swallow and be okay with the hiking part. Even like, you know, everybody can't admit that they can't run or shouldn't run, but you know, you've managed to get through the wall of like, well, I'm still going to go out, still going to do the miles. It's just going to be slower and less impact.
Right.
And yeah. I guess now it probably is a good time to try maybe jump into the whole use of poles and the rucking that you do. You started out with a weighted vest and now you've moved to more of a rucking setup for the hike. Is that just for the hiking?
Yeah, I occasionally run with it, but I know that that's a big, you're taking a big chance running with weight if you're not, you know, I build up. So I started, this was probably last summer that I used the weight vest, the 20-pound weight vest, and then I eventually took that weight vest and put it in a backpack, then put a dumbbell in the backpack, but then I really just wanted the go ruck with the metal plate, and then I added some ankle weights to that I don't use anymore, so now I'm up to 40 pounds, and then usually I'm doing three, sometimes four times a week, anywhere from usually 3.5 up to Pulpit Rock and back or another trail somewhere. And I think over the weekend I hit 6 miles. That's probably one of my longer ones, but like a 2-hour ruck. But yeah, I love it. It's just something different I never thought I would have done. I think I was probably thinking was going to do something to my knees, but there are some days that I just feel beat up on Sunday night and it's like, what's going to happen on Monday? I'll come up, use the ruck in the morning, and by Monday night, I'm feeling ready to go run. I don't know. I just have really good luck with it. And it's nice because I just do the 3 miles. You know, sometimes being the ultra runner, you want to go and try to hit a certain number and just, you know, use it for 3 miles and I'm good. And I, you know, if you overuse it, it really will fatigue your legs at first for running. So it could have a negative effect on your running if you get too into it too quick, because it is fun and you want to use it all the time, and then it's like you've got to learn to back off. And so if I do have a race coming up, I usually do for Bull Run this year, I think I stopped maybe 3 weeks before, and then before Eastern I stopped like 3 weeks before and just was running, and just I didn't want any negative effects from using the ruck, which is really hard to do because I really want to do it those 3 weeks before the race. But you know, I mean, maybe I could and get away with it, but it's, you know, it's a lot of extra weight on you pulling down and fatiguing your legs.
Yeah.
So I'd recommend. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
I I'd recommend it for anybody. Maybe not that weight at first, working your way up and finding a weight that's comfortable. You definitely don't want to overdo it. And but it's, I feel it's helping. And especially the older I'm getting, I need to do some type of resistant type exercise. I was doing push-ups, but then, and some other stuff, but then once Eastern States training came in, it was just, I only had time that I wanted to put into running and I had to back off. I just felt too tired.
Does the pack that carrying the weight, like you, all right. So you give yourself a 3-week taper before Bull Run or Eastern States, but you know, when you start running up a hill during those races, is it noticeably like you feel light as a feather because of it? Or can you not even notice it and you're just trusting that obviously it's made you stronger?
I don't know. This year I've just been doing so much elevation. I don't know if I have that feather feel all the time. My legs right. have been, you know, they're healthy, but, you know, I don't know if I have that snap that I did last year at this time, because I have been putting a lot of miles on my legs so far this year. And it does add up, but I'm trying to play that game of, you know, not going too fast or not overdoing the vert, but overdoing it. I'm still like figuring it out of how much I want to do. But I know if you run super hard one day, you're going to pay for it the next day. And so, yeah. So it's a big Absolutely. Balance game right now this year, with at least until the 31st, then I can figure out what I'm going to do next year.
And I wanted to, so you've done a couple of different things this year, because I follow all of your posts. So you talked about the rucking. You've also made some changes with your nutrition. So how have you been playing around with what you eat and how much you eat?
Well, for about, I think it was 23, 24 years, I was pescatarian, I guess you'd call it. I just didn't eat any meat, and I would eat eggs and some cheese. And before that, I tried the vegan thing, and that just didn't work for me. And then last December, I went back to meat. So I'm eating meat again. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and just some of the things that I listened to, they said, just trying different things and maybe you would feel better. And I never really felt bad, but it was like, I never really thought of trying to feel better.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if I actually feel better, but I'm doing more. And, you know, I didn't lose my motivation yet this year to keep going out, to wake up. You know, what used to be early to me is not early anymore. It's just when that alarm goes off, that's, you know, I get up, I get coffee, get out the door. You know, it's just, I'm usually back home by 5 o'clock, you know, after 5 miles with 1500 feet of elevation. You know, it's just what I do now. It's, you know, I don't dread it. I just get up and do it. You know, one time everybody would make fun of me because they would always have early runs like at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock. And that one, I'll be out at 10 or 11. But now, yeah, I just love the dark, running in the dark. And I love running in the light, too. I love the sun. But
It's peaceful.
Yep.
So yeah. When did the million miles this year, when did that become a goal for you, or realize that you probably should need to go after it again? Was this something in January you considered doing again, or did you halfway through the year, or what?
It was probably after Eastern got canceled. I really had no interest. That was the race that I wanted to do, and I didn't really want to get a replacement race. It just wasn't going to be, there wasn't anything out there that was going to replace that. So I had a really, I would think it was 9-10 week buildup that I had a lot of miles invert before Eastern. So then after that, it was like, well, I'm just going to continue that and see where it goes. And I stayed healthy.
Yeah.
That's the main thing, you know, and so it was probably right, you know, through Eastern, I had those 10 good weeks. I don't know what, I don't know. I had a, you know, I was hitting 90 miles, 80, 80 to 100 miles a week. Now, when I say that, that's running and hiking. I never have 100 mile running weeks in it, you know.
Right. Right. Are you, did you sign back up for Eastern States or no?
Yep.
Nice.
Yes. Okay. I'm on the wait list. I didn't sign up right away, but if it was tomorrow, I wouldn't be on the starting line. Right now, I just, you know, my goal right now is to get through this year and then we'll, you know, think about next year. It's,
yeah,
all the training this year was just to go up and down a hill. So we'll see what happens next year. I'll probably still go up and down a hill, but mm-hmm. you know, we'll, I don't know. It's just too much fun on the hill to not do it. It's like a whole, it's like a whole different sport, like than just mm-hmm. going out and running flat. Like, I don't know. I just really enjoy it. I watch some stuff on Facebook on the incline out in Colorado Springs at Manitoude.
Yeah.
And that's just an amazing community out there too, of just people going up and down those steps. And it's like a daily thing that I wish it was closer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a cool goal. You know, we talk about mileage and we talk about time on feet and we talk about vertical gain within races, but not so much in our training or in our goals. So I just think it's really cool to put that into your goals and that you've been able to maintain it and to do it safely and healthy and all that stuff. So it's I'm excited to hear, and I'm going to ask you in a minute what you're thinking about some goals are for next year. First, real quick, because I know Clara usually listens to this, I think the day after, but one of the races, I hope I'm not giving this away for her, but one of the races she was considering is Bull Run Run. And so I wanted to hear if you have any hot tips or advice for Clara if she goes to do that race.
Well, you don't have to do a lot of elevation to do Bull Run.
<It's> no, you don't.
I mean, I think it's a beautiful trail. I mean, it's mm-hmm. usually, it can be one of the first hot days of the year. Mm. So Bull Run can be tricky that way because you'll be running up here in 30 degree weather and that could be your first 70 degree day. And a lot of people get hit with that and that can be a shock to the system that you're not ready for if you don't deal with those, because that'll feel really hot, you know, training mm-hmm. in 30 degree weather. But it's really runnable. The hills aren't real long. There's a couple little technical sections, but you can't probably even really call it like a technical race, just, you know, a couple places by the river or the creek there that is kind of technical. But other than that, I mean, I think a really fast marathoner can do really well there. Like Brandon did really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got speed, it's you know, you can really make some time up if you're a fast marathon.
Nice. So there you go, Clara. There's your advice, your help for Bull Run Run. You can do it. And how many times have you won Bull Run?
Three times.
Nice. Man, that's awesome. And I think that's cool. Yeah. You've been able to translate your vertical over to hills. I feel like it doesn't always translate. You know, speed translates to hills, but hills don't always translate to speed.
Right.
I think it's really about how intentional you are about going up that hill.
Right.
And so it's very cool you've been able to do that. Now, so many questions. I want to talk about poles. Now, a lot of people, some people use poles, some people do not use poles. Me, I'm somewhere in between. I use them sometimes, but I don't use them as much. I've gotten some good advice over the years on how to get better with my pole work, and I've definitely gotten better over the years by practicing more. But you are one of those people who can use poles really, really well and really easily. Whenever somebody says that poles always get in the way, I say, unless you're Jim Blanford. So can you talk about a little bit about how you got good at using poles and any advice that you have for other people who want to get good at it?
I searched probably YouTube and really tried to find some pole help on learning how to use them. And then just by watching some of those videos of actually not really like digging in, you know, you're kind of just being real smooth with them and not trying to, because you could really wreck your arms and, you know, fatigue your upper body too if you're trying to grind up a hill, you know, when you should just be, you know, basically tapping them going up. Now downhill, that's a little tricky if you're running. If you're just trying to get down the hill, you know, if your legs are that fried and you're just trying to get down the hill, I think it's a good, they really work good in sometimes leafier trails. But if you're running really fast downhill, I don't recommend poles. It's just, you know, if you look over and hear a bird or look at something and you get that pole coming in sideways, you're going to trip. And I've done stuff like that already. Just, you know, you got to, like you said, practicing with them before the race really does help for a few weeks, just getting that, you know, so you're not crossing them. Because some people, you know, you can get clumsy and just in a group talking to people. And if you're not, you know, focusing, yeah, you can really, if you kick the pole, you know, you can twist a knee or, you know, it can be serious, you know. Or usually what happens to me is I'll use them for a big loop I do around here, and it's part trail, part road. And I walk through the town of Hamburg, and I always get my pole stuck in between a sidewalk and just like rips your arm back. And that's the same thing that can happen on a trail too. You can get that pole stuck in between a rock, and if you're not ready for it, your arm's going to get pulled back. But yeah, I like using poles a lot. I never raced with them a lot. I used them at the slope side, your race, Grace. And somebody did tell me, you know, before I had a few DNFs over the year, and they said, you know, before you DNF next race, take the poles out and just, you know, start using them, and, you know, maybe it'll alleviate something that's going on and your focus will go elsewhere and it'll get you through the race.
Yeah. It's a good time where, my race is a little steep. So I think it's really helpful with very steep uphill or downhill. But with that race, it's grassy. It's not rocky. So it's not like it's going to get stuck between rocks. And I think that's where the places where it's really helpful is those places where you don't have too many rocks and you can really use them how they're intended. You know, you really like use them to propel you forward.
Right.
So I don't know. I still have some pole work to do.
I think there were a big advantage in your race because the first five loops, I didn't use them. And then I took them out, and it really did help going up. I don't think I was using them on the way down because it just didn't want to fall with them.
Yeah. I don't want to fall with poles in my hands. And you won. So there you go.
It was a good year. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was your, if Eastern States had happened, what was your strategy with poles for a race like that?
I would have just left them with Karen, and then if something would have went really wrong, I guess I would have got them, but I don't think I would have used them.
You never used race without them.
Yeah. I mean, I never used them before, but I guess I never really tried to use them. I guess I just never felt like most of the hills, I don't know how long it to say 10 minutes to get up a hill. No, then you don't need it for, you know, a long time, maybe,
right?
Or a longer time. Probably doesn't feel like a long time. So the 100 mile races, I never used poles.
Wow.
But I can definitely see their benefits. I mean, it just wasn't really a thing when I first started. Nobody really used them. And then you started seeing people use them. And then I tried them. And I mean, it is fun. I love like power hiking with them and going out. What I call power hiking is just going out, hiking as fast as you can, and, you know, just clicking away with the poles. But you know, usually by the time you're done, you want to just sit the poles down and not really use them anymore.
And when you say power hike, like what's your power hiking pace?
I could probably get down to maybe a low 13.
Wow. That is so
high. High 12 is really hard to, because I don't practice it. But if I can probably on a flatter, maybe not like a steep hill, like flat stuff, I could probably get in the high 12s, but
I think it's kind of, it is fast. It's kind of doing speed work, you know, running. If you're intentional and you go out and do a workout of power hiking, mm-hmm. I bet you most people would get their mind blown at how fast they can freaking move. But it's mm-hmm. it's hard to go out and intentionally do that. And because we walk fast, but we don't really walk fast.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to do it and to do it intentionally. I always say, like, it's really difficult if, like, let's say you normally run a 10-minute mile for, you know, your half marathon pace. Well, if you want to drop a 10-minute mile down to a 9-minute mile, that takes a lot of work. Or from a 9 to an 8 to a 7. And that's tons of work. But if you want to switch your walking pace from a 16-minute mile to a 14-minute mile, it doesn't take nearly as much work to do that. So you can, over the course of 100 miles, if you are hiking 20 miles of that, and then you reduce it by 2 minutes over the course of 20 miles, well, that's 40 minutes you just saved. That's huge. Huge.
Right.
It's math.
It's math. And yeah, I mean, a race like, keep coming back to Eastern States, but it's, mm-hmm. you know, Eastern States is a very power hikeable course and race.
Yeah.
I tell a lot of people, if you want to do it, you can power hike that darn thing. Don't stop very long at aid stations and you're going to finish within the 36 hours, but you got to want to do that. And, it's crazy. But yeah, if you're intentionally trained and able to walk fast, you can do all kinds of crazy things that runners do.
Yeah. And I always worked on my power hiking from the time I started. It was just something I always did. Like when I would hit, if I had ever hit, like, I think the 1 year before MMT, maybe I did like 8 weeks of 80 miles, but probably 30 of that was hiking through the week. I did a lot. Yeah.
And it's still miles on your feet, miles on your body. It's just that lower intensity stuff, but still.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, Jim, when did you start running?
Ultras or running?
Normal.
Answer both.
Probably my dad started me, asked me if I wanted to do a race, and it was probably like 82, 83. Like, they had a lot of 10Ks at that time. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. 5Ks, maybe 10 milers, maybe 5 milers. I didn't have. So we used to do a lot of weekend 10Ks around. Mm-hmm. And then I did a little bit of track in school, and I was just more of a head case probably and didn't want to listen to the coaches. So then after school, it was like I never lost the drive to run, but I just never did it. I was in golf and did some mountain biking and just didn't do a lot of as much as I do now. You know, it would kind of come back to me. It was like, you get the new pair of shoes, you go out and go run really hard for 2 weeks, you get sick. And I was like, oh, I just can't do this. I get sick all the time. And it was like a pattern. But then probably when I turned 35, which would have been like 2005, then it was like, I got to start doing something. And then just slowly got back into running, met some ultra runners.
Yeah.
This is a big group in my area of ultra runners when I first started. Like when we would go and do Massanutten 100, there'd probably be 11 people from this area that was in the race. Then with their crew and pacers, it was just one big party at Massanutten. And that really got me going.
That's awesome. What are some of the biggest things that have changed over the years?
I think for me, it was just doing more elevation and just really finding the hill close to me. I don't know. I don't know how much of it changed. I mean, you still got to do the work. If you don't do the work, it's going to make the race so much harder.
Yeah.
It's like these long races, you got to do the work and you got to be moving. It's, you know, walking, hiking, you just got to keep moving. So yeah. I guess it's easier to say sometimes depending on the family situation or what type of job and hours, and like can really throw some curveballs in there. But I think just getting out and doing something every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, life is a lot. And sometimes it, you know, running has to take a back seat and hiking has to take a back seat, and that's okay. That's pretty cool that you've been just this lifelong runner and probably shepherded many, many runners into the sport.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
We have a good community down here. Yeah, it's fun to see. I think seems like it keeps growing. You have your highs and lows. Like some years there's a lot of people doing Eastern, so then you have the Tuesday night hills really can take off. And then if people aren't doing the long stuff, maybe you don't see them as much.
Mm-hmm.
But they still come out. Maybe they don't do as many, but so it's kind of neat to see that. And I really love seeing the new people show up, and because I can learn so much from new people too. It's like, oh, I'd never thought of that. And it's like, you just started. It's
that awful. I was running with somebody last week, and a road runner, typically road runner, but she does a little bit of trail running. And I was kind of talking to her a little bit about downhilling and how to downhill faster. And I'm like, I shouldn't teach you these things because you're going to be faster than me. Because as it is right now, I can beat her on trail, but she beats me on the road. Like, I shouldn't teach you this stuff. It's a lot of fun, though. It's fun to run with others and see the sport change over the years. And I think you're a testament to just consistency. I think that's one of the biggest and most overlooked things in running. You know, we're all looking for that one thing that's going to help us hit our goals, whatever those goals are. And really, it just comes down to just getting out there.
Yep.
Right.
Absolutely.
Now, Jim, do you have some of your goals in mind, some of the challenges? Because you kind of make up these challenges for yourself for 2025.
I'll probably be back at Bull Run. I'm pretty sure I'll be back at Bull Run.
Nice.
Other than that, I don't want to, I mean, definitely, I hope I can get to the start line of Eastern. You know, that definitely a goal that's pretty far away, but definitely want to go back there. That race is just from the first year it was there. And I mean, we were almost back to it every year in some way, helping somebody or just going up to spectate. And it's just really neat to see how it's grown, and what the finish line looks like on a Sunday is just amazing.
Yeah.
But the problem with me now is like, I don't mind sitting and watching all day people run. So it's like, sometimes it drives me crazy when I see people stopping at the aid station so long, and just, it's like, go.
Out.
But get out is right. What do you?
And you, do you help with the, I know there's a couple of races that you help out with pretty heavily, like Blues Cruise and stuff like that. Do you ever help at the MASH aid station? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where is that? I think that's Funt, isn't it?
Oh, no, I was never at Funt. Never did Funt.
Yeah, I think that might be Funt. That one, that's one of those aid stations that I'm super jealous of. I want to go help over at it. There's so many good ones.
We are fun at Labor Pain. Labor Pain's a good one to come and bang on the guardrail and get the people across the guardrail. That's always a fun day.
That's right. You have a guardrail crew.
Yeah, me and Andy Steyer and some other people were there this year, and it's fun because you can hear that guardrail banging for miles, and
helps you get there. Nice.
Yeah.
Do you have any vertical goals for 2025?
I don't know. When I finished a million in 2020, I said to Karen, it's like, now what do I do next year? Do I go again? And it just never happened the next year. So I probably can't do it every year. I don't know. I mean, I still feel healthy. Like, I feel like I played the game pretty well of like, I'm sleeping consistently. I'm eating enough. I figured that back out, and it was probably September. Someone even asked me, are you still like eating what you normally? And I just had to start adding like a lot more calories and just not even trying to think about what to eat. Just, you know, because when you're out there all the time, if I don't eat, it's you know, I really wasn't even thinking about it. I was staying on my same food pattern, and then I was like, I got to start adding some calories. I'm just going to really start losing weight and energy. And so, yeah, I mean, I still feel good. I get up every morning, like I said, and, you know, I'm not dreading any of the next 22 days.
Yeah. Nutrition's, it's interesting. It's one of those things where you don't realize that if you had more calories, you would be performing even better, and you just didn't realize it.
Right.
Now, have you done any ruck, like, races? There's a couple of races that have added some rucks.
Nope, didn't try that yet. I mean, maybe sometime. That would probably take some different training.
Mm.
Maybe I'd have to go with the lighter weight, because usually what I'm at right now, 3-4 miles, sometimes 6, is about my limit right now. And I don't know if I want to go much. You know, there's strain on your feet too, you know, that much weight on. You got to make sure you have the right footwear and not wear like some of the real cushion shoes like I would wear for hill repeats. It's not always the best because you're kind of wobbly and you just don't have the best footing. So,
yeah,
you know, if you go too heavy, that can really put a lot more stress on some other things that you won't be ready for. So that'd probably be some kind of different training to get ready for some of those longer ones.
Do you have anything that you have not been able to do that you really want to do, like things on your bucket list?
Eventually I'd like to Everest, do the Everesting in the one shot, you know, do the 29,000 feet. Kyle Benjamin, he's done it, and I just didn't wrap my head around it yet. I still feel like this is being controlled. Like I can go and do some in the morning and do some at night and still get a bigger day. That's a really big day. So it's, that'll just be like a, you know, okay, Friday's the day I'm going to do it. I can't really plan that. I'm getting better with planning, but I'm usually a really horrible planner and wing a lot of stuff. And just, you know, if I'm feeling really good, then I'll go and do something really long. But so that's probably another reason why I'm probably around a little bit longer. You know, there's races I DNF'd and just moved on really quickly and didn't really think too much about it when I stopped. You know, looking back at it, I probably could have been able to finish those races because they were really weak excuses. But at the time, it was like, I just don't want to be out here anymore. You know, maybe I shouldn't have even entered the races some of the times, because I do a lot of the same races over and over. And if you don't get your name on, you don't get in. But probably some of those DNFs just help me train more for the next event. I mean, you can't always pull the plug, but, you know, sometimes it might be the better option that day to move on and start planning for the next one or something like that.
Yeah. Oh boy. So Hamburg, PA. What's the group called? Hamburg, PA Mountain Runners, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to join Jim and the crew on Tuesdays, and you post a lot of different hikes and runs there. So Hamburg, PA Mountain Runners is the group. If you happen to be in the area at that time, I highly recommend joining that crew. Jim, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm still shooting for a lot more vert for the rest of the year. So Sunday I'll be at the Naked Nick until 1 o'clock.
Oh, fine.
The Uber Endurance race, helping at some place, some aid station, but I have to get back out on the mountain to keep going with this. I'm trying to hit, if it works out and I'm still feeling it, I'm trying to hit 1.2 million now. That's the next short-term goal. So
that's crazy. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Keep on trucking. Awesome.
Yep.
Grace, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm undecided.
What are, can we hear our options?
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, well, So I have some stuff that I'm considering. I don't want to talk about it yet, but somewhere in between there, I'm going to race direct Dallastown 10K, which is race number 3 out of 9 in the York Road Runners Winter Series. It's a lot of fun. I hear Santa may show up. Awesome. So that'll be fun. And it's a good time. But, you know, it's always fun to race direct a road 10K because mentally I prepare for like a 10-hour day, but really it's like 4 hours, you know, and then the whole thing's over.
Cool.
Yeah. So it'll be fun. We have record registrations. We're up to 800 registered. Not all of those people will show up at every race.
Right.
You know, because it's for the whole series. But yeah, we hit 800 this year. Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's pretty cool.
They probably just want to see you.
That's what I tell myself. You know, try to keep my confidence high. It's important.
Good.
You know?
Good.
What are you doing this weekend?
I'm probably going to hunt again on Sunday and then Saturday. And then Sunday, I believe we're going down and playing on the snot course.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Yeah. That's coming up soon. So a couple of people want to get on it.
Yeah.
Weather looks like it'll be nice. Probably won't be much snow left or ice down there. Yeah. There's snot right there. And, you know, that's a big day no matter what. So should be a fun time.
Yeah, I'm registered. I'm looking forward to it. I love that race. I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
I guess I'll see you there.
I mean, you can avoid me. It's okay. I won't be offended. Jim, have you done Frozen Snot?
No.
What the
hell? Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of races up there I didn't do. Never did Heiner. Never did World's End. No.
Yeah, that's surprising, but that's okay. I get it. Like there's certain races that I wanna branch out and do something new, and then there's other races that I just enjoy doing year after year after year. And you know, that limits you sometimes. Yeah, I got so many days out of the year.
Yep. Yeah. Well, Jim, thanks for being on. You inspire
me. Thanks for having
me. You motivate a huge amount of people. You're huge in the running community. Everybody wants to be Jim Blanford. So keep doing what you're doing.
You've been a huge inspiration to me, Jim. I really appreciate all of your posts, and you and Karen are awesome. And
thank you.
Keep doing it all because it's so cool. And I'm going to try to be like you one day.
Yep. If anybody wants to come out to Tuesday Hills, everybody's invited. So.
Yay.
You're in the area.
Yep. Cool. All right, Grace, tell everybody what they should be doing. I'll take us out.
All right, friends. So we are going to be wrapping up Mullet Bingo coming up soon. If you don't know what Mullet Bingo is, we set it at the beginning of the year as some challenges for you to do throughout the year. And I want to see, I know Chris Young has done it. I want to see if anybody else finishes up their bingo card by the end of the year. We have Secret Santa prize reveal presents opening is coming up soon. So our Secret Santas should be wrapping up, giving out their gifts. And then we got we did open up a new Facebook page, a Facebook group, CG Manage, whatever. Anywho, go there and like stuff and comment on stuff and go to Spotify and like that and share it and Apple iTunes and like that and share it. And then go to YouTube and like that and share it and comment on all the stuff and tell Eric that he's pretty because it makes him feel good and share with your friends because it's fun. And you know,
and it's Christmas time. It's a time to share. So
it is a time to share.
Yeah. Right.
Brighten somebody's day, you know, because we're all just trying to make it out here and to support each other and love each other a little bit.
Okay, good talk.
Thanks.
I guess I'll see you next Monday at 7:30, Grace.
Next Monday at 7:30, every Monday at 7:30 on the lives. And if it's Tuesday morning for you, good morning. Good job for getting out there and running.
Yeah. That. be there for the live show. All right. We'll see you next Monday. Jim, thanks again. Have a great week. Have a great weekend.
Yep. Have a great
night. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Take us out, Grace.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Eric. You're awesome. Everybody, bye.